So I'll be doing the scripture reading today, and it is Matthew 19, 27 to 30. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that has forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. May God bless the reading of his word.
Thank you, Dylan. Good morning, happy Sabbath. By the way, Dylan started, I thought that he's going to have the sermon. Maybe not today, but soon. So first of all, I want to thank you all for being here with us today. Special thanks to deacons and deaconesses who helped us in preparation with the many details of baptism, which you sitting in the pew sometime don't know. The things have to happen. So thank you again to everybody that has been involved. Before I begin the reading of the Bible and study today, I want to point again to our flyer and to the programs we think of implementing. The first one, it's a health approach. It's a cardio health assessment. As you know, cardiac disease are the number one killer in the United States, and the problem is that you don't know about it most of the time. And we don't have to get into the whole story, but and it's for you, it's for your friends, neighbors, for whoever you think has high blood pressure, cholesterol medication, and I'm not going to ask this in public. But if you have a heart disease, or if you don't know that you have a heart disease, I would say an assessment, it's always good. So if you want to do that, that's going to be the first module of this project, the health approach. And then there is another one which we hope to implement, which is a health lecture and the cooking classes. We have to discuss that because it seems that we are interfering with the great national celebration of Halloween. So that's supposed to be a joke because I don't believe in Halloween at all. So we have to work the schedule a little bit. So that's the first part, which is a health approach. The second part would be a parenting class for those of us who are parents or grandparents and want to know how to do better in raising our children, how to understand them better. In December, we plan to have a Bible seminar, and we are still working on some of the details. So if you didn't get a flyer, get more, invite your friends and share them with your neighbors and everybody else. As Yolanda said, this afternoon at 4 o'clock, she and Justin is going to organize us and going in the community to invite them to these programs. I want to also thank Bakersfield Adventist Academy for being with us today. And if you don't have any plans for the future 10 Sabbaths, you can be with us every Sabbath. So put that in your schedule. Thank you very much for being with us and refreshing us with your presence and music. Much appreciated. I want a special thank to our principal, Brother Chris Ebenezer, his wife, they are there in the back, for and the choir director too, for bringing the students. And not only of that, they already have committed to help us with the health approach. A number of students will come and help us to guide people for the registration and greetings. At least that's the plan for now. Amen. So thank you for being good neighbors. Before we read the Bible and study today, let us pray one more time. Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much for the goodness you have shown to us and for opening our eyes to see it. As we read the Bible, give us understanding of what you would like to speak to us today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So before we would focus on the question asked by one of the disciples of Christ by the name of Peter, when he's asking Christ, well, we have left everything What's in it for us? What shall we get? But before we get to that question, you know, actually in order to understand people or to understand the question, it's always useful to understand the context of the question. So today we will be looking at the context of the question itself, and how Jesus answered the question. So the context, the question, and how Jesus would answer the question. So the question, the context begins in Matthew chapter 19, beginning from verse 16. So if you have a Bible or a phone, if you want to follow, you may do that. So the Bible says, "Now behold, one came and said to him," meaning to Jesus, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit, that I may have eternal life?" So the Bible says that out of the crowd that was there with Jesus, one person came. So right from the beginning, we understand that not everybody came. So as we look at, as you read through the Bible and look at Jesus Christ, you see that people relate in a very different way to Jesus Christ. I shall assume that probably the majority of you who are here today believe in Jesus Christ, and in one way or another, I mean, believing that he was a historical person, a real person, and what the Bible says about him was true. And not only that he was a real person living, that lived 2,000 years ago, but he was the Son of God, our Savior. But not everybody believes the same thing, as you probably know. So the Bible says that one came to Jesus. How about the rest of the other people? Not everybody believed. So I was thinking that actually there are three groups of people. There are those who, when it comes to Jesus Christ, they say, well, the whole thing about this Jesus is just a story, a legend. I don't know, and I'm not interested, or I don't have the time to look into this. I'm too busy with my life, my business, my entertainment, whatever. I don't have time for this. So as far as Jesus is concerned, for many people, they put him there in a box. Sometimes you call the box a church, and they just leave him there, and maybe one day I will look into this. They are simply not interested. The second group of people are those people who say, well, yes, I believe in Jesus and I have some questions about him, and if he would be real today, I would ask him some question. And that's Peter's case. And you'll see that actually there is a group of people that have decided to follow Jesus. They have asked their questions long enough, they have found the answer, and they have decided, yes, I have decided to follow Christ. The people you saw this morning in the baptism pool, they have come to the decision to follow Christ. They had questions, they found an answer to the questions, and they've decided to follow Christ. Many of us that are here today, we have come to the same conclusion. Some of us have followed Christ for a long time. But it doesn't mean that all the questions are over. And it doesn't mean that this experience in following Christ has come to an end. We still continue to follow Christ. We are still learning things about him, about God, about how the way he leads us. So that man came to Christ and ask him a question. Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit the eternal life? There are many things we can stop by, but and dissect as we read the Bible. But I point to his question, to have eternal life. So there is this life, and there is the eternal life. Some people somehow have come to the understanding that everything that this life can offer is not enough. All that this life can offer, from the material goods, from the pleasures and entertainment of life, pride and reputation and fame, all of it is not enough. So in their minds, there is one question: if this life is not enough, is there anything else? And they said, well, there must be something else, the eternal life. Some of you have heard of a man by the name of Blaise Pascal. How many of you have heard this name, Blaise Pascal? Let's see. Anybody? One, two, three? Just a few of us. Well, he's not my neighbor. He lived in the 1600s. He was a famous philosopher, mathematician, a brilliant man, and also a religious man. He's one of the first ones to put together calculator machines, and he did that when he was 16. A little bit later in his life, when he was in his 20s, I think, he developed some of the first theories of probabilities. He was a brilliant man in his youth. But he understood that there has to be something else more than this life. Later on in life, he wrote a book called Meditations or Thoughts. They are written in French. I have never read them. I don't know if they have been, I would assume they might be, they must be translated in English. But I've read pages of it, passages of it, and I would like to read something for you. He's known, Blaise Pascal is known for what's called Pascal Wager, Pascal's Wager. When he asks a very simple question, and he says this, he says, well, thinking of God and the existence of God, if there is no God, and if I believe in him, I haven't lost much, I haven't lost anything. But if there is a God, and I have not believed in him, then I lost everything. And that's called the Pascal's Wager. He's known for that. He's known for another statement when he said something like this. In the heart of every human being, there is a shape that nothing in this world can fill it up other than God himself. But I would like to read the passage the way he says it, because the way he says it, it's actually way more beautiful than the way I put it. He says this. All men seek happiness. There are no exceptions. However different the means they may employ, they all strive towards this goal, happiness. And then he continues, what else does this craving and this helplessness proclaim? But there was once in a man a true happiness, of which all that now remains is the empty print and trace. This he tries in vain to fill with everything around him, seeking in things that are not there that help. The help he cannot find in those that are, though no one can help, since this infinite abyss can be filled only with an infinite and immutable object, in other words, by God himself. So what he says, we are longing for happiness, all of us, in one way or another. And in vain we try to fill this hole that's deep in our hearts with all kinds of other things. It's not going to satisfy ever, because there is only one thing that can fill that deep longing of heart, which is God himself. So the young man in the Bible that I'm reading, in many Bibles, it's called the rich young ruler, because he was rich, because he was young, and because he has a prominent position in one of the government places in his time. And this man, even though he had everything, he came to Jesus with the question, what else do I need to do to have this eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. So Jesus makes a very simple statement. If you want the eternal life, keep the commandments. When Jesus says that, you say, well, which one of the commandments? Or what's Jesus' point? Well, he gives some explanations. Because actually the young man said, which one of them? Verse 18 says, which ones? Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So, I'm sorry. When this young, rich ruler is asking Jesus, well, which one of the commandments? Jesus makes a direct reference to the 10 commandments. Jesus makes why is that significant and important? Because sometimes you may visit a Christian church and you may hear people saying, well, the 10 commandments were given to the Jews. The 10 commandments are not important for us. Well, remember the instance when Jesus says to this young man, do you want the everlasting life? Keep the commandments, with a strict and direct reference to the 10 commandments. which are the most simple expression and the most condensed expression of God's will. The young man said to him, "All these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still miss?" And that's interesting because this young man, he was a Jewish young man. He was definitely a religious man, complying with all the religious requirements of his days. He was following the Bible to the best of his understanding, but something was missing. And I wondered, how did he know that something is missing? How did he know that something is missing, even though he was a religious person? You see, the fundamental difference between animals and human beings is that human beings have been designed with something very special. Does a dog have emotions? Yes, of course. Animals have emotions. Do they have intelligence? They do have some intelligence. When you see a lion crawling to get his prey or going into a circle, when you see the pack of wolves dividing themselves to attack, they have a certain degree of intelligence. Dolphins, it has been said that they are very intelligent. So animals have affections. They have emotions. And they have a heart, as we do. And they have, you know, we do a lot of physiological studies and scientific experiments on animals. You know, mice, most of it. Monkeys are expensive. At one point, they did experiments on monkeys. But the point is the physiology, the emotional development, some of the intelligence is basically the same between human beings and animals. But there is a core element that's missing in animals, which is consciousness. Animals do not have the consciousness. They do not have in their brains that thing that makes the difference between right and wrong is not there. If a lion kills a man, the lion is not guilty of a murder, right? Nobody does that. I mean, nobody would accuse a lion of being a murderer. But with a human being, it's different because human beings have been designed with this element called consciousness. And there is the place where God connects with human beings. That's where God speaks to human beings. It has to be, there has to be quiet enough in our minds so we hear God speaking to us. If I'm too busy and if God wants to speak to me, I may not hear him. If my mind is full of myself, the voice of God is not going to be heard. But this young man, he listened and he heard God speaking to him. I would recommend you to read the book. The book is called The Desire of the Ages. It's the most beautiful biography you can get of Jesus' life. If you don't have a copy of that book, please ask any one of us or many of us as we go out, ask and you'll get the book. If you read that, I read recently the chapter about this young man and his interaction with Jesus. Jesus loved this man and Jesus wanted this man to be one of his disciples. But Jesus realized that in the life of this man, there was something holding him back. There was something holding him back. There was something that's missing. Jesus knew that and the young man knew that. And the young man says, "What do I miss? Is there anything missing?" He knew that something was missing in his life, and Jesus knew that something was missing in his life. So the dialogue continues. And Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give it to the poor, and you'll have a treasure in heaven. Come and follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions, the Bible says. So I imagine this conversation between Jesus Christ and this man, this young man, the reputation, the safety, and everything that life can offer, he had it. And Jesus tells him, "You're a good man, but you miss one thing. You base your life on all this. Leave them behind and begin to trust in me and follow me." It was very hard for him to do that. Actually, not only for him, it's very hard for all of us. You may not be neither young nor rich or famous, but most of us have, there is a possibility that in our lives there is something that's holding us back. And it is me and God that know that. Other people don't. Maybe they don't have to know. But it's very important for me to know that. And when Jesus tells me, leave them behind and follow me, would I listen? Would I follow? The Bible says he went away sorrowful. We don't have in the Bible another record of this man meeting Jesus the second time. I believe that some moments in life, they are more important than others. There are some crucial moments in someone's life that determine the direction of their life to eternal separation from God, to perish, or to the eternal life. Today is my birthday. I'm 60 years old, and I'm looking back to my life. And when I saw these people being baptized today, actually my birthday is not that important, because there are plenty of people that experience a biological birth. But I mean, everybody who's alive has once upon a time experienced the birth, right? But that is not the most important thing. What has been the most important thing for me is not October 16, as it is today for the few people that have been baptized. For me, the most important day is September 20, 1950, 1975. I remember that because in the day of my baptism, someone gave me a card, a small postcard, very simple. We were in the communism. And I remember on top of it, it says, September 20th, 1975. It's a picture with a prodigal son. And that fit very well with me, because that was the turning point in my life, which changed completely the direction of my life. And I can tell you many stories. I know one thing for sure. I would be in a different place, if I would be anywhere, had I continued the direction of my life at that point. I praise God so much for the fact that I believed him. I was 14 years old. And I began to believe that there must be something else other than the foolishness and the stupidities I was doing up to that point. Wasn't that good that God helped me to change the direction of my life? I remember telling my parents, there was a baptism in my church, and I remember telling my parents, we usually prepare people for baptism, give them the chance to understand the Bible better. I was not interested in that at that point. But when I heard that there is a baptism, somehow I said, maybe I need to be baptized. Maybe all this needs to change. And I said, I have to change. And I told my parents, I remember telling my father, I want to be baptized. And my father said, are you sure about this? Do you know what are you doing? Because they knew my life. And they said, Octavian definitely is not ready for baptism. In many ways, I was not. But what meant the most was that I wanted a change of direction in my life. And I took it very seriously. And that was the greatest blessing that I have ever gotten in my life. It completely changed the direction of my life and the geography of my life forever, I hope. This young man that I'm reading in the Bible made a different decision. And instead of choosing to follow Christ, he went away sorrowful. So this is the context of the conversation. Now, when this man, educated, religious, rich and famous, turned his back to Christ, the disciples were astonished. And as usually, Peter says, I'm skipping a few verses because of time. Peter answered and said to him, see, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have? So Peter comes to Jesus and says, well, we left everything to follow you. What do we get? So if we think of the disciples of Christ at that time, in their minds, in their minds. They are following Christ for mixed reasons. They were convinced that Christ is it's a divine person because they saw a lot of miracles. So they said, well, definitely there must be something with this Jesus man because he has done a lot of impossible things. But in their minds, they believed that Christ is going to be the new king, and him being the new king, it would be nice to be part of the government, right? It would be very nice to be part of the team with the new king. So they're hoping that by following Christ, they will get some benefits. Jesus will disappoint them greatly. Now, if you have time to go home and read in chapter 20, I'm not going to read it, but now let's read it. Chapter 20, verse 20 says this. Then the mother of the Zebedees were it was John and James, two brothers, last name Zebedees, came to him, the mother came to him with her sons. Poor good mothers. The mother took the sons. The sons were by now, beyond teenage, they were young persons. And she took them to Jesus, kneeling down and asking something from him. And he said to her, what do you wish? Obviously, the woman came to Christ and Jesus said, well, you're a good woman. Your sons are following me. They have come with me. What do you want? She said to him, grant that these two sons of mine may sit on your right hand and on your left hand in your kingdom. This wonderful lady came to Jesus and she said, well, I have two sons, and if you don't mind, when you'll become the king, would you mind have one of the left and one your right hand? What a generous request, right? If you read the Bible, you'll see that the rest of the disciples got angry and upset, of course. So in the minds of the disciples, they wanted the benefits of being attached to the new king. They couldn't comprehend that actually Christ's kingdom was a very different one, and the values in his kingdom were very different. They couldn't understand that at this point. So Peter is asking, we have followed you. What shall we get? So maybe even among us sometime, those of us who have followed Christ, those of us that have been baptized, sometimes the question is, what am I getting by this? I've known people joining a church because the church provided financial help. I know people getting baptized in order to get married. My girlfriend said, if we want to get married, I have to get baptized. All right, I'm going to do this and we'll talk afterwards. And that's the way it went. They just got baptized to get married and then they forgot it. So there are other reasons people apparently choose to follow Christ. Sometimes the reasons are even deeper than that. The question is, we have decided to follow Christ, right? Why? Do we ask the question, well, Lord God, Jesus, I've decided to follow you. What's in it for me? What am I getting? Probably the answer that Christ will give to us would be the same with Peter, and say, well, Octavian, Peter, James, or whoever, whatever your name is, they say, well, you might be disappointed. You might have chosen to follow me for the wrong reasons. But if you choose to come for the right reasons, here is the answer. And Jesus would say to them, surely I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit the eternal life. Jesus is saying a lot in these verses. And again, I apologize for not having time to get into this. But there are two things. One, Jesus promises the eternal life. Many people have asked a question. If you believe in God, and this God of yours is very powerful and mighty and so on and so forth, why are you going through trials and tribulations? Why are you suffering? Why is it your life that is not, why don't you enjoy a perfect and good life? Well, God never promised that. He has invited us to follow Him, but He never promised and said, well, since you follow me, your life is going to be rich, famous, and possibly young. He never promised that. But He has promised eternal life. I would like to read in the Bible. I would like to read in the Bible something which has been the hope of many people. In one of the old time prophets, Isaiah. I'm going to read Isaiah chapter 35. Through the old prophets of the Bible, God has promised to His people. Isaiah chapter 35, the wilderness and the wasted land be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. Verse 3, strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong and do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance and with recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. The lame shall leap like a deer. The tongue of the dumb shall sing. The waters shall burst forth in the wilderness, the streams in the deserts. And it continues with a wonderful description of a new world. In Revelation chapter 21, if you read in the Bible, it's another description of the eternal life. So the main promise of Christ for those who follow Him is not necessarily an abundant life on earth, even though I'm convinced that the life with God is way better than the life without God. But that's not the main point. That's not the main reason to follow Christ. He promised the eternal life. The second promise is when Jesus says, and everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or fathers and mothers, Jesus makes a very interesting statement. You see, these are the closest ties we have in this world, the family ties. Sometime by following Christ, some of us have been forced to break those ties. Jesus doesn't say you have to do that. No, He doesn't say that. I met sometime people saying, well, I'm becoming a Christian, should I divorce my husband? I said, no, definitely not. Yes, but we have different values and we think differently now. I said, I know that. But that's not a reason to leave your husband or your wife. You be faithful, stay with them, be an example. Be a wonderful example of the transformation that God brings in someone's life. And keep going, unless they choose otherwise. When we leave behind friends and family and other benefits, there is a question, is there anything I get instead? And Jesus said, yes, you do. So we usually, when we welcome people in church, we tell them, this is becoming your family, right? That's what we tell them. So that's a lesson for me and for you. We have to remember that there are people that have left much. So we, God's people and God's church, we should be for them what they don't have. One of the candidates that have been baptized today, and I'm not saying who because I haven't asked the permission, but the person told me that some years ago left this church because she was going through a hard time in life, and there is nobody for that person at that time. And the person said, I'm coming back now, And I'm committed that I will be someone to help every time when I see someone in need. What a wonderful transformation, right? And I hope we remember that Jesus promised to those who have left families and homes and possibilities, that he will provide for them through me and through you. So we come to an end today of our studies as Peter came to Christ. And that's in that interesting context, what do we get? We have left everything and we have followed you. What do we get? And Jesus says, don't worry. I may not promise you an abundant life here, even though there is a lot to be blessed by, but I promise you the eternal life. I promise you that you will be with me. And also he said, I promise, that is true, you may lose friends and family. I promise that I'll provide for you 100-fold. We praise God for his promises and for what's in his word and what's in it for me and for you. So if in one way or another, if we have not committed our lives to God, maybe today is the day. Let's think of it. Let's take this quiet time with God and say, God, Lord, am I missing something in my life, in my walk with you? And let us commit our lives again to follow Christ and to God. Amen.